You know, today we're celebrating the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. We are celebrating that feast that we commemorate the fact that our Lord is the King of all creation, heaven and on earth. Now, I wonder if we as Catholics understand what that means when we call our Lord King. Now, we know that our Lord Jesus proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of heaven. That was the major message of his earthly ministry, is that the kingdom of heaven was coming. And in fact, it was such an important part of his ministry that when blessed, now or soon to be Saint John Paul II, gave us the luminous mysteries, he made sure that this was one of them, the proclamation of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. When our Lord was on earth, he revealed to us that his kingship, his headship of the kingdom of heaven. And that this kingdom of heaven isn't an earthly kingdom. You know, it's nothing like what we imagine when we think of an earthly kingdom. A lot of times, kind of the fairy tale view we have of an earthly kingdom, with castles and knights and armies and wars and all those kind of things that we think about. But that's not the kingdom that our Lord has in heaven. It's very different than what we picture a kingship here on earth. Our Lord, though, isn't just king of the kingdom of heaven. He also has kingship. He's also the king of all creation. This is why we call him the king of the universe. That's the reason for that title. Because as we say in the creed, through him all things were made. All of creation exists because of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he has the power and authority. That's why he has the kingship of all of creation. In fact, because he has this power and authority over all creation, he is the ultimate authority over all authorities. All power and authority come from him. Or as we say more clearly, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Earthly authorities, those authorities that are here on earth, their power comes from him. They don't grant power to him. He gives them his power in that limited realm here on earth. That's the great irony of this scene in the gospel today of the rulers of the people and the soldiers. See, they thought that they were the ones that had the power there. You know, they were the rulers of the people. They were the soldiers. Jesus was hanging on the cross. They thought they were the ones in power and authority. But they didn't realize that their very existence came through that man that they saw hanging on that cross. Their very existence came through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord allowed them to exercise that power over him. There was no power that they could exercise that he did not allow. If he would not have allowed them to put him on that cross, they would have had no power to do so. Well, when we think of earthly kings, we realize that to have earthly kings means there are those who need to have submission to their rule. And I use the term of king kind of loosely. Not just literal king of Sweden, king of England, something like that. But in the sense of government and elected officials, those who have power and authority of some sort or another in a governmental role. And for them to have their power and authority requires submission of those underneath them. We have to pay our taxes. We can't be trying to overthrow them and so on. And as return, they allow us to live, hopefully allow us to live in peace in the area that they have responsible for, the land that they are responsible for. Well, our Lord Jesus is not a king like that. He does not force submission on us. He does not require us to follow him. He wants us to willingly swear fealty, to willingly accept his authority over our lives. As the people, the tribes of Israel, willingly accepted the authority of King David, they swore fealty to King David willingly. Well, our Lord wants us to do that as well. And he's worthy of us doing that. In fact, he is very much worthy of our fealty and our praise. Because as St. Paul tells us, for in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. All things were created through him and for him. In him all things hold together. Through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross. So our Lord Jesus Christ not only created us and holds us in existence, But he also gave us eternal life through the blood of the cross. And so he is worthy of that glory and praise. The sad part is, although he is worthy of that glory and praise, and worthy of our fealty, worthy of our acceptance of his authority, there are always those who will mock Christ. There are always those who will be like the rulers of the people, the soldiers and the first thief, who mocked our Lord while he hung on the cross. And the sad part is, some of those people may claim to follow our Lord. And there may be times in our lives, those of us who seek to be his disciples, when we mock him, when we say things and do things that are mocking of our Lord. You know, those who mock our Lord, they do it by mocking his teachings, such as the rulers of the people. The rulers mocked what our Lord did and said. Well, there are those today who mock our Lord by denigrating the truth that he revealed. They call it as old-fashioned or out of date, or we need to change it because it was fine 2,000 years ago, but it needs to change today. And instead, they teach a new gospel. They teach a new gospel that there's no demands. You don't have to do anything. Everybody's going to be saved anyway, so it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be saved. Well, that's a mockery of our Lord because that's not what he taught. That's contrary to what he taught. There are those who mock our Lord by refusing to defend him. They're like the soldiers. The soldiers stood by. Not just did they stand by. They stood by while our Lord was being mocked by the rulers of the people. But they also joined in on that mockery. They started insulting our Lord as well. Hey, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you just come on down here? Get yourself down off this cross. We do that mockery when we take his name in vain, when we join in insulting our Lord by using his name as a curse word. But we can also mock our Lord when we can stand back, when someone insults our Lord, when someone says something that is mocking towards our Lord, and we deny knowing him. I don't have anything to do with that. I don't know anything about that. We refuse to defend our Lord against those who might attack him. And then there are those who mock our Lord by refusing to accept his mercy and his forgiveness. This is like the first thief who, instead of realizing his need for our Lord's forgiveness, his need for our Lord's salvation, says, oh, hey, if you're the Christ, why don't you just pull us down off the cross? You can do that. He reviled any need for forgiveness. Well, there are those, sadly, in the church today who revile his sacrament of forgiveness. They denigrate any need for confession whatsoever. They refuse to accept the sacrament. They refuse to even acknowledge there's a need for this sacrament. And they ignore and downplay their own sinfulness. They don't see themselves as sinners in need of our Lord's forgiveness, which we all are. We are all sinners in need of our Lord's forgiveness. And we mock our Lord when we ignore or downplay that. We mock what our Lord did on the cross. For us as disciples, we're not called to be like those mockers. We're not called to be like the rulers of the people, the soldiers, or the first thief. Instead, we're called to emulate the example of the second thief, the thief who sought to follow our Lord. As he says at the cross to our Lord, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's a prayer that should be on our lips. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The second thief sought to defend our Lord in his teachings. As he says to the other thief, have you no fear of God? You are subject to the same condemnation. This man has done nothing criminal. He defended our Lord against the mockery of the first thief. We are called to do the same to those who would mock our Lord around us. And then third of all, the second thief realized his sinfulness and sought our Lord's forgiveness. As again, the second thief says to the first one, indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. He realized his forgiveness. And again, that prayer, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom, seeking our Lord's forgiveness. The question for us is, are we like the rulers of the people, the soldiers, and the first thief, mocking our Lord by what we do and say? Or are we going to be like the second thief, the one who sought to follow and defend our Lord, and asked our Lord for his forgiveness for their sins? We need to ask ourselves those questions. But as for me, I say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.